Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and thank you for being with me on Sunday Praise, where we look towards the one that will lead us, guide us, and take us all the way, to heaven. And his name, of course, is Jesus Christ. And I thank you for being with me and sharing on Sundays. And my prayer is that you have encouragement and get encouragement from the program, where you be lifted up, encouraged, where you can go through the week and think of some of the thoughts and some of the scripture, some of the short stories, some of the music you'd be whistling along during the week, that would pick you up. And that's my goal, dear friends, to encourage you. I love Barnabas, and read about him in Acts, and he was an encourager, and that's what I want to be, dear friends, an encourager to people, to lift them up. And I look at some verses in the scripture. We're going to talk about believing and having the peace that passes all understanding. And of course, that's with the Lord. I think of believing. I read about Cornelius. He was a Roman leader in the army, and he was a believer in the true God. But anyway, I read from Acts chapter 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house and during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And of course, that was an angel. He said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon Peter, who's also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon, the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Then we are all here present before God to hear what you have been commanded by the Lord. And he invited his neighbors, relatives, and everybody in the area to come and hear this great preacher, Simon Peter. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him, fears God, and does what is right, is welcome to him. Isn't that beautiful? We're welcome to God. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace, through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, and after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses. All the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him up on the third day, and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people, and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, all that he went through, all that he's done, so we could receive the forgiveness of sins. We thank you from the bottom of our heart for that, Lord. It's the most beautiful thing on all the earth to be set free and to receive the forgiveness of our sins. I pray for those that are listening today that you would lift them up and guide them as we, and guide myself, dear Lord, that we would point everybody towards you. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Then I look at John chapter 6. The first song is about believing. It's by Gold City, and it's all about believing. But when I think of believing, I think of chapter 6, which is such a beautiful chapter. 71 verses in chapter 6, and you could spend a week in that one alone. And I look at verse 22. It says, the next day the crowd that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias, near to the place where they ate bread, and after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set a seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do, so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's the work of God, that we believe. Dear friends, we can never work our way to heaven, but believing in him. And then, of course, we'll want to do some works because we believe in him and we want to put forth his name. Gold City up next, and I believe.
I believe that there was a man named Jonah who lived in the belly of a whale. I believe that there is a beautiful heaven. I believe there's a burning hell. I believe that Moses led God's children all across the hot sand. And when they came to the river, God parted the water and they walked across on dry land. I believe in the blessed hope, the book and the blood, and there is no other way. Jesus is the Son of God and he's coming back someday. The Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Heavenly Father is above. Was a virgin when she heard that Jesus was on his way. I believe if you'll look inside the lowly manger, you'll see God laying in the hay. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose up on the third day. I believe that the trumpet's gonna sound so loud, God's children will be called away. I believe in the blessed.
City, and I believe in the book and the blessed blood. I believe. Yes, I concur with that 100%. What they sang about there, I believe. And I think of preparing to meet your God. I go back into Amos chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Therefore, this is what I will do unto you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Amos 4:12. There's only one thing that people can know for sure. Not even death and taxes are certain. You ever think about that? Not even death or taxes are certain today. For some will never die. We'll be raptured to meet God in the air. Every one of us, the one thing though, is for sure, every one of us will give an account of himself or herself to God. Romans 14:12. That's right. Every one of us. You can be sure of that. You're going to stand in front of God. Even those who don't believe in God, those who ridicule his word, those who disobey his law, those who worship false gods, everyone must one day meet God. There's no better advice than what it says in Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God. And dear friends, every week I come to you and I give you encouragement and point you towards the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way other than Jesus Christ. If anyone should ask what God, the answer is the true God, the Creator, not the false gods or pagan pantheism, nor the natural systems and the processes of evolution. No, but the one and only God of creation. He created it. He created us, everything, and all the galaxies, everything. He is the one who knows the thoughts of all men. He makes the morning darkness. For all who reject or ignore him, the word here for darkness is used only one other time in Scripture and is synonymous with hell. And that's coming too, if we don't believe in the Son of God. A land of darkness as darkness itself. It's a shadow of death without any order, where the light is darkness. In the coming judgment, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, Psalm 9, verse 17, and the message of Amos needs to be heard in every generation. Yes, my dear friends, it needs to be heard because it hasn't gone out of style. Maybe some people think it has. Prepare to meet your God, for the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, Psalm 1:5. The judgment is sure. It is, my friend, it is sure. Very sadly, for those that die unprepared. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 9:27. The only way to come into the presence, his presence, prepared, of course, is through Jesus Christ, who is himself the Lord of all the hosts of heaven. And then you'll come in, and you won't sheepishly come in. You'll be able to lift your eyes up because Jesus Christ paid the price for you. That's the only way we can meet him, if the price is already paid. And Jesus Christ, he died on the cross, so you and I don't have to face that punishment. And I think of a short quote by Henry Morris. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord," Psalm 116, verse 12 and 13. It's a remarkable question. And to answer, to everyone born into the world, God has given multitudes of benefits. He gives to all life and breath and all things. Some receive more than others, but all receive many and much. So the question is, what should we do for the Lord in return? The answer is simply to receive his gift, his great gift of eternal salvation. Is that complicated? No, it isn't. I read earlier from John chapter 6, verse 22 to 29, and Jesus said, the works of God is to believe, just to believe. I think of his answer must be profoundly surprising to anyone who believes that he can please God and earn salvation by doing good works. "This is the work of God," said Jesus, "that you believe in him, as God says, my Son, whom I have sent." The truth is, we can never pay for our sins by good deeds. If I was talking to a man the other day, and I said, "You're not going to plea bargain when you get in front of Jesus Christ, and we will be without excuse." How do we get saved by and obtain salvation? It must be received solely by faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For for he died for us. So the grace of God is a gift, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When a repentant sinner calls in faith on the wonderful name of our gracious Lord, he drinks of the healing cup of salvation and receives everlasting life, because Jesus drank the bitter cup of God's righteous judgment. On our sins, we can drink deeply of the living water springing up into everlasting life. We can say with the psalmist, "My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23, that beautiful psalm. I think of quiet time. It's so important to get alone, be with God, and study your Bible and pray, meditate on the book and pray, and enjoy, just enjoy that quiet time with Him.
When my heart feels so heavy, when troubles try to crowd my mind, I just steal away to be with Jesus, and there we spend some quiet time. As we walk through green pastures, I take His hand, and He takes mine. Then He leads me beside still waters. Such perfect rest my soul can only find in quiet time, alone with Jesus. Oh, what joy, what peace sublime, what a blessed, sweet communion. How I love this quiet time. As we walk through green pastures, I take His hand, and He takes mine. Then He leads me beside still such perfect rest my soul can only find in quiet time, alone with Jesus. Oh, what joy, what peace sublime, what a blessed, sweet communion. How I love this quiet time. What a blessed, sweet communion. Oh, how I love this quiet time. How I love this quiet time.
Perfect words, blessed sweet communion, when we have that quiet time with Jesus Christ. And it truly is true. When you have that quiet time and you study His word and pray and be with Him, after the hour or 2 hours or even half an hour, whatever time you spend with Him, you'll say, how I loved that quiet time. think of noise. You can't get away from noise. It doesn't matter where you go. It's hard to get away from noise. It really affects human behavior. One experiment carried out by psychologists, a student leaving a library intentionally dropped an armload of books. In 50% of the cases, a passerby stopped to help the student pick up the books. Then the experimenters brought out a lawnmower without a muffler. Boy, that's noisy. And started it near where the student would again intentionally drop the books. This time only about 10% of the people who passed by stopped to help. It was clear that behavior and too much noise changed because of the ear-splitting sound of the lawnmower. Researchers found that children who lived in neighborhoods near airports could not complete certain tasks undertaken when jets were landing and taken off. They're very noisy, as easily as children who lived in quiet neighborhoods. Some studies of prison conditions have shown that the high level of noise causes more complaints by prisoners than the food or other conditions. Dear friends, we have to carry some quiet around inside of us. The well-known Quaker George Fox used to say, "Be still and cool in your own mind and spirit and in your own thoughts. You'll feel the principle of God to turn your mind to the Lord from where comes life, whereby you might receive the strength and power to hold off all the storms and tempests." Nehemiah 8:10b says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Quiet. We need that quiet time. I often ask people that don't spend any time in the good book, you know, I say, your soul must be shriveled up. It must be starving. Joni Erickson Tada has written the following. She said, "A large part of me never moves." She's paralyzed from the shoulders down because of an accident. "It's like instant stillness. I don't run. I sit. I don't race. I wait. My natural stillness used to drive me crazy." After she had a diving injury, she said, I laid still for 3 months, waiting to be moved. When the intensive care unit into a regular hospital room, while in rehab, I stayed put in my wheelchair for hours and hours outside of physical therapy. And in the evenings, my stillness would madden me as I sat by the door waiting for friends or family to come for a visit. It was more frightening at night. She was only a young girl of 17 at the time. When I lay down, at least in my wheelchair, I could flail my arms and shrug my shoulders. But in bed, I couldn't move at all, except to turn my head on the pillow. My bed was an altar of affliction. But time, prayer, and studying God's word have a way of changing things. They'll change us, my dear friends. Now, many years later, my bed is an altar of praise. It's one spot where I always meet God in my quiet time, in total relaxed stillness. In fact, as soon as I wheel into my bedroom and see the side lamp lit, it signals in my mind, it's time to be still and know more about God. It's time to pray. Dear friends, find a quiet place where you can sit in the presence of God each day, each and every day. During this time, let Him fill you with His peace and give you the strength you need to face the day. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Psalm 119, 165. Lord, you will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us all our works. Isaiah 26:12. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. And when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. Peace. The elusive peace in this noisy world. I read in Ephesians chapter 2, "For he himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." Peace, that perfect peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Think of the peace of Jesus Christ. Psalm 34:14 says, Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And dear friends, it will find you when you seek it. God says, Those that seek me will find me. And he is peace. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is also much peace with God. And he'll raise you up, dear friends. He'll raise you up to more than you can be.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shore.
More than I
to more than I can be.
And it's really true. He raises us up to more than we can be on our own, trusting in ourselves. We must trust in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, you're listening to Joy Radio. My name is Bill Craig, and thank you so much for being with me on these Sundays. Oh, and by the way, if you miss part of the program or want to just pick up an hour, maybe you're doing some ironing or maybe you're washing the car, Dad, or whatever. Doesn't matter, whatever you're doing. If you want to tune in for an hour, just go to sundaypraise.ca. There's about a year's programs there. And like I tell people, it's not earth-shattering, but it's all about Jesus, and it points towards Him, and it will encourage you. That's our intention. That's our goal, to raise you up every week. And I think of peace. It's elusive, isn't it? In life's troubles, which will come, sometimes they seem they'll never pass away. But in the night, the storm looks as though it'll last forever, but calm comes in the morning. The storm, by its very nature, is a transient thing. That's the effort of nature. It's like the human heart. We have to return to God for peace. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. And the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Edward Henry Bickerseth, peace, that elusive peace. As one song I recall says, we want to live in love and die in peace. I think of the answer for works. We present our bodies, present ourselves to God. And we say, well, I've done the best I can. So surely God would not be too hard on me. I'm a sincere person. We've plugged along all our life without harming our neighbors too much, and the variations are many, all the way from claiming to have lived by the golden rule to the statement that one has never been guilty of murder or gross sins. Donald Gray Barnhouse, great pastor from many years ago, he said, I recall a couple of conversations, and he said, I'd like to illustrate the phases of this attempt to present works to God as the price of entry into heaven. Early in my ministry, I met a man casually who happened to live a few doors from the church which I was preaching at. When I spoke to him about a soul, he laughed at me, and he laughed me off, telling me that he wasn't the kind of man that needed church or anything else. He says, I can do it my way. He was an active member of a lodge, he told me, and as any man lived up to the principles of that particular lodge, he said, they told us we'd be all right. I saw him from time to time, and whenever I attempted to speak to him about his soul, he would tell me once more that he was living up to his lodge obligations, whatever lodge it could have been, I don't know. May I say here that no one may accuse me of speaking against lodges, that if you want to drill and exchange passwords and handshakes and hand grips, and if you want to go down that road, and if you want to have an insurance and benevolence scheme with some other men and women, go right ahead. But any time you try to tell me that you can go to heaven by living up to any society's obligations, he said, I'll fight you all the way to the door of hell and watch you go through, but I'll try and hold you back. But the sequel of my story will reveal the poverty of this man. He had been stricken with a serious illness and that he was not expected to live out the day. So I went and I saw him. He was only a few doors from the church. A member of his lodge was already there in what they call the death watch. They take turns so that no member of their group would have to die alone. They'd always have one member of the lodge. This man was seated across the room from the bed reading a magazine. I had scarcely entered the room when his successor came and the shift was changed. One man went in and one man went out. I knew that the dying man's case was desperate, and I decided that a desperate remedy was necessary. So I sat down. I sat down by his bedside, and I said to him, "You don't mind me staying with you for a few minutes and watching you, do you? Because I have wondered what it would mean to die without Jesus Christ. And I've known you for several years now as a man who said he did not need Christ, but that his lodge and the obligations were enough. And I would like to see a man come to the end that way to see what it is like." I shall never forget that which followed. He looked at me like a wounded animal and slowly said, "You wouldn't mock a dying man, would you?" I then asked him what the answer he would give when God asked him what right he had to enter into the Lord's heaven, holy heaven. Well, great big tears just flowed out of his eyes and down his cheeks. The man's pale and wrinkled cheeks. And he looked at me. He didn't laugh this time. He looked at me in agonized silence. Then I told him how he might approach God through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was not long before he began to say that his mother had taught him these things when he was a child, but he had abandoned them. But in those moments, and he only had moments, maybe hours to live, he came back to God through Jesus Christ. And in a little while, he had me call the members of his family that they might hear his testimony face to face and hear it for themselves, his testimony of faith. And they heard him say that he wished that I would tell his story and I would take his funeral, which Donald Gray Barnhouse did a few days later. So sad it had to come to that. He missed out on so much life. Because when we're justified, as it tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace. Yes, that peace that's elusive to most people, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace, dear friends, that peace, like a river, is so beautiful. It's beyond description. I wish I could explain it. Doesn't matter what happens. If I was to die tonight, or if I was to be told that I'm dying, I would just look to the Lord and say, "Lord, just carry me through all the way." And I would have that peace. You know, friends, that's how I got to know the Lord. I was told many, many, many years ago that I was dying of cancer. I had never been to church in my life other than maybe once or twice as a little child with relatives, not with my parents. And they told me I had cancer and I was dying. And I went home and I opened that Bible for the first time in my life. I opened a Bible and I started reading it. I started going to different churches and I found one that taught the Word of God. And it made sense to me. Total sense. Was I a perfect Christian? No. No. I was barely a Christian. I would call myself barely saved. But I asked Christ in my heart, asked him to forgive me. And he did carry me through, and I'm still here. Next month, I'll be 75 years old. Yes, next month. Lord willing, if I last till then. But it's been him all these years. Him. I often wonder why he puts up with us. But he gives us that peace that passes all understanding. That peace, my dear friends, that peace like a river.
Did you ever have an empty feeling many miles away from home? Everybody's trying to treat you friendly. Yet you're alone. It's taken some time for me to uncover the purpose he has in my life. Don't know where it will take me, but I know where I've been, and I know it feels so right. I got peace like a flowing deep in my river.
Beautiful group on Sunday Praise today called the Isaacs, and they've got peace like a river. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, as I read from Proverbs chapter 3. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor, Christ's riches, I would say. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. Peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom, number one. By his knowledge, number two. The deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. Number three, the Lord by understanding, he established the heavens. Through his peace. Through his words. I think of how many thousands of lips have lingered over those sweet, strong words, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And my dear friends, I find that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Aren't they beautiful words? It is God's peace. S.D. Gordon says it acts as an armed guard drawn up around your heart. Isn't that beautiful? It acts as an armed guard drawn up around your heart and thoughts to keep unrest out. You see people, I have to be busy all the time, busy, busy, busy. Why? Because they don't have that peace that passes understanding. It is too subtle for intellectual analysis, but it steals into and steadies the heart. It does. It really does. You cannot understand it, but you can feel it. You cannot get a hold of it with your head, but you can with your heart. You cannot get it out. It gets you, and you don't want to get it out, my friend. You don't need to understand in order to experience. Blessed are they that have not understood and yet have yielded and experienced. Yes, the peace that passes all understanding. Colossians 1:20, and through him to receive Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:20. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul speaking. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Yes, the God of peace, at peace like a river. My dear friends, open the door of your heart to Christ, and you'll experience that. I think of the big C word, puts fear into every heart. When the doctor makes his diagnosis, and it has been a prominent intruder into my family, says Sandy Smith, as I read from, she gave her story to Via Magazine. And she said, my mother and my 8 of my 12 siblings have all died of cancer. I, myself, one of the remaining 3, have had surgery for removal of my bladder, kidney, and half of one lung. Those who have experienced a bout of cancer know the ever-present thought, when or will it ever come back? As yet, there is no cure. We all are merely called survivors. Although I know what it is to anticipate serious surgical procedure, I have been able to face it without fear, for I know a few more C words that can bring confidence and peace. Over 60 years ago, I was convicted, she says, of my sin, and realized in God's sight I was condemned. Look at all the C words. And when I confessed, that's a wonderful C word, confess, that I was a sinner, I received a cure for my sin. I was converted and received the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that the Lord promised in John 14:16. I'm a Christian. That's a beautiful C word. And because of my new birth, I can put my confidence in God's word. From a spiritual point of view, I'm not merely a survivor, but I'm a new creation in Christ. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I now look forward to his return, when he will change my mortal body to one with immortality. I did not have to pay for any of these medical procedures, for they were paid by the Canadian medical system. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, the place called Calvary, he completed the work of my redemption and paid the cost of my salvation. He was buried, but his body saw no corruption, for he was raised from the dead on the third day, and was taken up into heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. I don't know how long I will survive, but if I die, I have the certainty that I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. But I also have the blessed hope that I may never experience physical death, for when he went away, the Lord Jesus promised that he would return. For those who have received him as their Savior will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And if the C word comes into your life, would you have the comfort of knowing that you have an eternal home waiting for you in heaven? That C word. It's a dreadful word, isn't it? But a better word is C for Christ. He's the overcomer. Sometimes it takes the C word to lead us to Jesus Christ. The C word is not in it. They don't spell it out in the Bible, but if you just listen to this, I think you'll get the C word out of it. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathes bread and a soul's favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones, which were not seen, stick out. Then his soul draws near to the pit, which is hell, and his life to those who bring death. And that's in Job chapter 33, verse 19 to 22. But then I look at some other verses. I look at verse 29. Behold, God does this, oftentimes with men, to bring back, here's the answer, to bring back his soul from the pit. We need a wake-up call at times, that he may be enlightened with the light of life. And then I look at verse 27. I have sinned and perverted what is right, and it is not proper for me, but he has redeemed my soul from going to the pit or going to hell, and my life shall see the light. And of course, that's Jesus Christ, because he is the way and the truth and the life. And when we place our faith with him, we don't have to worry when the big C word, or if it, I pray that it doesn't, but if it ever comes along. And I think of that piece, the Isaac sang of peace like a river. But I think of this next song, John Tesh put a number of voices together, 21 artists together. I don't want to read them all off, I don't have time, but 21 artists together to sing a cappella, a great song. Psalm chapter 1, I shall not be moved. And we'll just read a few verses from it first before we hear the song. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And you know how well trees do when they're planted by the water. They really do well, don't they? Lots to drink for the trees, and which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Next we have the Elite Choir, and I Shall Not Be Moved.
As a tree beside the waters, as the Savior planted me, all my fruit shall be in season. I shall live eternally.
Yeah, beautiful song there. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, as out of Psalm 1, like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Dear friends, you've been listening to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and you've been listening on Joy Radio. I thank you for being with me, and I pray that we've encouraged you and told you how to get that peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I think of that perfect peace. When we have that perfect peace through Jesus Christ, it's hard to keep it in, isn't it? You want to tell people. And as you go through the week, dear friends, please tell somebody about Jesus Christ that they can have that perfect peace. They don't need that anxiety, because thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's Isaiah 26. I read the dear old promise over and ask, is this for me? When trouble comes and throngs without increase, can God keep me in perfect peace? The short answer is yes. In perfect peace, when seas run high, when loud the cutting blast, when laid upon a bed of pain, when tears are falling fast, if Satan with all his power release, can God still keep me in perfect peace? Yet I recall that far-off night upon a stormy swept sea, when urgent cries for help came from men in jeopardy. How instantly the waves were stilled in swift obedience to his will. O mighty master of the sea, thou art my master too, and thou art all things unto myself art able to subdue. Thou biddest inner tumult cease. Thou keep me in perfect peace. He will, dear friends. God bless you. I'll just read this before I finish. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, Isaiah 26, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Yes, our perfect peace is him. And God bless you, dear friends. Do come back and see us again next Sunday. We love you very much.